We're doing it a little bit different. We're going to have you come and bring your offering and bring your tithing. And that way it'll get you moving around a little bit and maybe help you not to get stiff sitting in that chair. So I would like for everyone to stand this morning, if you would. If you're not able, if you aren't able to come up, please just, if you want to give your offering to someone, send them up with it. That's totally fine. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. We ask you to bless this offering, bless this tithing, Lord, I pray. It's our gifts to you, Lord, that we can give. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. this time, we're going to dismiss the children to Sunday school, and I'll turn the service to Pastor Andrew.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here this morning to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And, if you want to, Debbie, we can just keep the children in the sanctuary this morning. The other kids are not coming if you want to. It's up to you, you know, whatever you feel like. Oh, okay. All right, that's fine. You know, several parents called and said they wouldn't be here this morning. So, of course, their children are not here, too. But it's good to be here this morning. We welcome a few of our students back once again that weren't with us last Sunday. We're glad to have you back with us. Good to see Jamal and Cyprian back with us. We welcome you from your long break to worship with us. And with the icy weather outside, I assume that we had quite a rate of attrition this morning, not only on the folk in the community, but also people here on campus. And it's a slipping and sliding on the sidewalk just trying to get in this morning. But we're so glad, those of you that were able to make it this morning, that you're here with us today. And we hope that you are blessed by the service and by putting forth an extra effort to come and worship with us today, that God gives you a special blessing of His presence upon your life. Always when we put forth a sacrificial offering to God, even of our energy or time, whatever it might be, then you can never outgive God. He has promised that He will bless you abundantly, hasn't He? Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. So, I'm glad to have everyone here this morning. I do want to mention, I saw something interesting in the paper yesterday. And I normally don't get the paper, but they threw a free one out there for me yesterday. And so I went ahead and read it. Usually if I'm going to read the paper, I go online and read it. But it said, with the economy failing, religion is on the rise. And here's some comments about pastors in the community that they had interviewed. The relationship between the economy and spirituality seems obvious, and indeed, area clergymen are reporting an increase in finance-related prayer requests. However, local pastors also believe the hard times prompt more than just supplication. They said financial difficulties also can bring people closer to God and inspire more concern for others' needs. And it's interesting because if you look historically throughout Scripture, whenever God's people were going through a crisis, whether financial, political, you know, whatever it might be, or war, then they would turn to God. But whenever things were going good and they were super blessed and had everything that heart could desire, they would forget about God. And that's when Jeremiah cried out one time under inspiration of the Spirit of God, the prophet Jeremiah speaking. He said, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number," is what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. And so that was in a time of abundance for the people, children of Israel, and they would forget God. But it's interesting that whenever we're going through our most difficult times, and it causes us to realize our need of God. You know, a person cannot come to God until he or she realizes that there is a need for God in that life. And so sometimes that's when people come when they hit rock bottom in their life, they'll turn their life over to God and ask Him to forgive them and fill them with the Holy Ghost and bring salvation to them. And so I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, aren't you? I want to serve Him in the good times and the bad. Because every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to talk to you this morning about something that constantly plagues people in our society, and I think it's a natural part of human nature is to complain. You know, it's much easier to complain than it is to be positive about the situations in our life. Have you noticed that? And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about the high cost of complaining. The high cost of complaining. And so, you know, we'll just kind of, I'll kind of see how this goes. I'm going to preach it to you. Or if you have a comment you feel led to share, then that's fine too. We may just do it as an open Bible study this morning. But I did find a few interesting things I want to share with you to begin with. Mark Twain said, he said, "Don't complain and talk about all your problems. 80% of people don't care, and the other 20% will think you deserve it." And here's a story about a monk. A monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. After the first 10 years, his superior called him in and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" The monk replied, "Food bad." After another 10 years, the monk again had the opportunity to voice his thoughts. He said, "Bed hard." Another 10 years went by, and again he was called in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." And his superior responded by saying, "It doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." And here's one final piece of information I found this morning. It says, you will find that as a rule, those who complain about the way the ball bounces are usually the ones who dropped the ball. Usually the ones who complain about how the ball bounces are usually the ones who dropped the ball. Isn't that so true? And because people that are busy doing what they're supposed to be doing for God, they don't have time to complain. I don't know about you, I don't have time to complain, Sister Linda. There's so much, there's a harvest field out there. There's so much that we need to do and we need to accomplish, so there's really no time to complain. As Jesus said, what did Jesus say whenever his mother, his father, they went hunting for him, they found him, he'd been debating with the scholars in the synagogue. He was only 12 years old at the time. And they come and they were complaining and saying, why did you do this? Why were you being honorary? Why did you stay here instead of not going with us on our journey? Because they had to turn around and go back and get him. And he looked at them and he said, "No, you're not, that I must be about my Father's business." But those that are in tune with the voice of God, when God is speaking to your heart, then you hear a higher calling. There's an unction within your spirit that says, "I don't have time to come down to the world's level. I don't have time to come down to the devil's level," as the old chorus goes. "I must be about my Father's business." You thrive and you live and you have your being in the work of God. You get caught up in the work of God and you just don't have time to come down to a bunch of negativity. Let me begin by reading with you. I hope you bear with me. It's quite a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. And if I got a volunteer reader, I'll be glad to have someone read for me. I have a volunteer that wants to read this for me this morning. I mean, going once, going twice. All right. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and that means examples. And they are written for our admonition, and that's warning, God warning us. Upon the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him think that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to hear it. And so this is a story of how they fell in the wilderness through murmuring and complaining. If you read the Old Testament account, they began to murmur and complain against Moses, and because God brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, and they went into the wilderness, and they began to complain about everything. And as a result, at one stage they were complaining so much, God opens up the earth, and thousands of people are swallowed by and died that day. So complaining can bring, now that was in a literal sense in the Old Testament. But for us today, the Old Testament is always a type and shadow of the New. And it has there's principles that we can find for living our daily life as a child of God. And so how that applies to us today is that constant negativity and complaining can bring and lead to spiritual death within our lives. It can render us ineffective for God if we yield ourselves to just a chronic negativity and murmuring, complaining about the way things are. But God says, and didn't Solomon say under inspiration of God in the book of Proverbs, he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so God wants us to keep our eyes focused on the vision that He has for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we look beyond the circumstance when we have vision. And when we have faith, we don't see things as they are, but we see them through the eyes of God of how they shall be. Because all the promises of God, it may not have happened right now, but the Bible tells us that all the promises of God are yea and amen. There's nothing negative about that. God's promises are true. And if He's promised that that every temptation there is a way of escape. If He's promised that you will never be forsaken. If He's promised that you're never alone, then God is true to His word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but it said, my word shall abide forever.
Amen.
His word will not return void. It will accomplish the task wherein it was sent. Now, these stories are our examples. They're not just stories, but they're examples for us on how to live. And the things that we should do. Because they complained, we say, well, they complained, so we can get by with complaining. They messed up so we can get by with messing up. No, those are warnings for us not to do that. And then so, they grumbled and complained. They died. So how to turn a rough year into a miserable life? Let me share that with you. How to turn a rough year into a miserable life. Numbers chapter 13 through 14. I'm going to go read all that to you this morning, but you know the story of when God sent the spies into the promised land of Canaan. They've been in the wilderness. He sent them to spy out the land of Canaan that God was going to give that for a possession. And He sent 12 spies. God spoke to Moses, and Moses instructed them to go into the Canaan's land, the spy out the land. And so they came back with a report. 10 of those spies came back and they said, there's no way. We can't do it. It's useless. They will kill us all if we go in there.
They're bigger than we are. They're giants. They have a mighty army. We cannot win. So that was about 80% of it. Higher than, actually, about 83% of it. That said, we can't do it. But then there was only two that came back of those 12 spies that said, we can take the land. We can win the battle. God has given it to us. Let's go get it. And that was Joshua and Caleb. They came back with a report of faith that God could win the battle. And they understood that with, as long as God was with them, anything was possible. With God, all things are possible. When you've got God on your side, you can't lose. If God is for us, if God be for us, then who can be against us?
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Look over at your neighbor and tell your neighbor this one. Hey, you. Know this. God is on my side. And He's on your side. As the old preacher used to say years ago, he said, and tell them this, say, you can't lose with the stuff we use.
That's good.
That's what the preacher used to say. He said, you can't lose with the stuff I use, he would say. Because he had the Spirit and the anointing, the power of God in his life, and he knew that anything is possible with God.
Amen.
He never leaves or forsakes his children. So a good way of turning rough here into a miserable life, as the children of Israel did, what happened for them when God was ready to give them the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey? They could have had everything their hearts could desire. They would never have to go hungry. They'd never have to be weary. They could have had bountiful blessings in the land of Canaan. But because they came back with that negative report, God sent them back out into the wilderness. And so what was a rough year to begin with turned into a miserable life. Because who knows how long they spent in the wilderness. How long was it?
40 years.
Long enough for the murmurers and complainers to all die off. And their children, the next generation, were the ones that were allowed to go into the land of Canaan and possess the land that flowed with milk and honey, as the Bible describes. What was just a rough year turned into a miserable life. Chronic. There's a high cost to being a chronic complainer. It can bring such misery to our lives. So we have to look at things, the promises of God. He will bring us through. So, how we do that? We forget God's blessings. That's how we turn into a miserable life. We forget God's blessing. Well, they called God a liar because God had told them, I'll give you the land. They said, no, God can't. He won't. They're too big. Criticized his leaders. They complained about Moses and said, Moses, why have you brought us to this place? We're all going to die here. And thirdly, just whine about life in general. And what did they do? They said, would to God. This was their statement of the children of Israel. And they said, would to God that we had stayed in Egypt and died there. We could have been servants the rest of our lives. And we wouldn't have to worry about what we're going to face the next day because we know that every day would be the same way. Some people are so used to the spiritual shackles and chains on their life, they don't know how to live free.
Amen.
How do we get free? We reach beyond the mediocre. We reach beyond the to. He is calling them to a place of anointing, because the anointing shall break the yoke. Isn't that what Isaiah said, the prophet Isaiah? He said that the yokes shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When you've had an experience, an encounter with God, with the power of God in your life, and man-made religion just doesn't satisfy. I've got to have something more. There's more. There's more than just reciting prayers. There's more than just going through the emotions. There's more than just sitting on the pew. I want to know Him. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious ruler. He had achieved such status as a Pharisee and as a Hebrew. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things that I might win Christ, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul realized, what if I forsake everything, if it costs me everything, the presence and the power of God in my life is worth it. That's what I want to tell you. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the power of God, is more than anything that this world can ever offer you. To be born again of the Spirit, the very presence of God, transforms your life. You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. Different persons are transformed. What is the scripture that said that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Become a new creature. Some important distinctions I want to share with you. First of all, it's okay to complain to God, but it's not okay to complain about God. It's okay to complain to God, but it's not okay to complain about God. Job, as an example, again in verse 21, and then I'll read chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. And said, this is Job speaking, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is a man who lost everything. He was the richest man in all the east, and in one day, he lost all of his possessions. His 10 children died when the roof caved in on the house that they were in having a party. All of his sheep and his oxen and his cattle were killed or either captured by thieves and taken away. It was all gone. And then that wasn't enough. Look at the rest of this. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She said, don't give up. Yield to it. There's nothing left for you. What's the use? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. The most amazing thing to me is when Job had lost everything, the Bible says he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground. Was it in complete surrender? Did he decide to give up? Did he decide to quit? He said, God just let me die? Was that it? No. He fell down. He rent his mantle, He shaved his head. He fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped God in the face of adversity. And that's the key to victory. That's the key to walking in freedom and liberty of the Holy Ghost. When all hell is broken loose in your and my life, and it seems like that everything that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong, then if we'll just look beyond the circumstance and lift our voices and our hearts up to heaven and say, and begin to worship Him. God, I'm going to worship You anyhow. I'm going to praise You anyhow.
Amen.
Nothing. I'll praise You and I'll magnify You with my last breath.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
With my last breath, I will praise You, O God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And what David said, David was a master at praise. He found an open door into the presence of God that few people ever found. He knew the power of praise, the power of magnifying God and worshiping God. And he said in Psalm 150, he said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." There's power in prayer. Power and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like that old song, I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Sing it again. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. If you like praise Him, I dare you lift your hands to heaven and give Him a praise.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we magnify You, we praise You, we adore You, we exalt You, name above all names, King of kings and Lord of lords, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, first and last, Omega, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh God, we magnify You, we worship You, we praise You. Thank You, Jesus. No, not everything's perfect in our lives, but Lord Jesus, we know that You are with us, and because You are with us, we can make it through the valley. We can make it through the storms. We can make it through the adversity within our lives, and know, oh God, that You will bring us through, that nothing shall overcome, shall conquer us, because You have made us more than conquerors. Through You, oh God, give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Jesus, we praise You. We magnify You, Lord. We exalt You, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, I did it over the Lord.
Glory to God.
Jesus, Jesus, I praise You,
Lord.
Psalmist said in Psalm 22 and 1, said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Sometimes it feels like that God has forsaken you. It's okay to complain to God and say, Lord, where are You? What's going on? Have You left me, God? Have I done something wrong? Why is this happening to me, Lord? I don't understand. Give me wisdom, Lord. Help me through it. But if you start complaining to people, say, God doesn't love me anymore, or God can't do this, or God can't do that, and you give up on God, then it's a dangerous place to be in. Okay to complain to God. Jesus, even Jesus, God manifest in the flesh that came to this earth. While He was on the cross, it said about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
So it's okay to complain to God. Don't complain about God.
It's okay. Second point, it's okay to be hating life, but it's not okay to bail out on God. It's okay to hate life. Because there are times that life is not a bed of roses, is it? There's times that life is hard. And those hard times that we go through is what helps mold us and shape us into the people we are. Just like we're like diamonds in the rough, and then those trials and those tribulations, those heartaches and rough places within our life are what cut us and shape us into the beautiful jewel or treasure that God wants us to be for Him. Job in Job chapter 10 and verse 18 and 19 says, Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Have you ever got homesick for heaven? I have.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I can't wait to go home. There's times my heart just longs to go home. And some of those times is when everything is going wrong in my life. I remember some of the times that I have desired, and my heart is so long to go to heaven, is when I have helped people so much and given my heart and my soul, ministering and helping and encouraging and whatever it took to try to lift them up out of the valley or the storm that they're in. Then when those people get where they make it on their own, I've had them turn around at times and rend me, and false accuse me, and persecute me. And I ask, why? Lord, take me to heaven. I get homesick for heaven. But I just don't want to stay here. What was it about Abraham? Said he sought for a builder. He sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. Sometimes, because we're not citizens of this heaven, of this world, but we're citizens of heaven because our name has been written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And we long for that place that He has prepared for us. And Job goes on to say, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 15, he says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. But I will maintain my own eyes before Him. Though He slay me, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I am nothing without Him. I love this because this was like a slap in the devil's face, because Satan was trying to throw everything that he possibly could at Job to get him to give up and to quit and to curse God and die, as his wife tried to get him. Through everything that he possibly could at Job. And it's almost like Job is turning around and saying to Satan, Satan, you thought that you took something that belonged to me. Satan, you thought that you destroyed things that were mine. Those possessions and those people, they weren't mine. They were gifts from God that He allowed me to use upon this earth while I'm here. And to be a part of my life. He said, you didn't touch anything that belonged to me. Because my treasure is in heaven. Is that what Jesus told His disciples? And He says to us today, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves can break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt. The thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasures in heaven. There's been times when going through financial struggles, there are times when I've gone through various kinds of struggles, and I say, Lord, look there, they're trying to take your house. They're trying to take your car. Lord, they're trying to take this. I gave it to you. It belongs to you. Everything I have belongs to God. That's the way I see it. Lord, this is yours. The devil's trying to take it. It belongs to you. Because our treasure is in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also.
Praise the Lord.
And will I go the way you know? Will he slay me? And will I trust him? Two things. People have two roads to choose when they go through a difficult time within their lives. Sometimes they choose to quit. They choose to give up. They said, what's the use? I've seen people that going through a difficult time in their life, all they do, they stop coming to church. They stop being faithful to God. And they said, no mind. And I said, where are you? Why are you at church? Oh, I'm going through such a hard time. I just couldn't come. I thought, my God, that's crazy. If you're going through a hard time, you want to be in church. And this does not make sense.
Amen.
If you're struggling and if you're depressed and you're agonizing over something, you need to be in church. You need to be worshiping with the saints of God.
Amen.
Oh, just going through so much struggle. Better get where the anointing of God is there. Where people can pray you through.
Amen.
Into the presence of God. Another point I want to make. I'm almost ready to close. Just bear with me. Negativity is a choice. Complaining, negativity is a choice. We can choose what we focus on. Negativity is a choice. We can choose what we focus on. Now look, here's some examples in Philippians 2 and 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, Paul told the church, do all things without murmurings and disputings. 1 Peter 4 and 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You ever had people do something good for you and then they complain about it? Invite you to their house and they complain about the mess you made. Well, you should invite me. You know how messy I am, right? We're going to focus on the good things. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Amen.
Come in with an attitude of gratitude to God. Every time we enter into the courts of the Lord, into this place of worship, we're going to come ready to give thanksgiving and gratitude and adoration to Almighty God because He is with us and because He is God. For no other reason, because He is God and He's deserving of the praise. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient.
Amen.
He's worthy.
Yes, Lord.
Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the polar opposite of complaining.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of struggles, in everything,
give thanks. No matter what the situation is you're in. Now, there's a lot of things about my life I'd like to change. I remember several years ago when Wanda Kay and I were traveling all over the country preaching revivals in various churches and coliseums and crusades, camp meetings in various places, traveling 35 different states as evangelists, preaching the Word of God. And I remember it was such a financial struggle at times, just to pay for your meal, because we never asked for anything. We just left it in the hands of God, because whenever I felt the call full-time into the ministry, I was sitting in Bojangles? No, Mrs. Winter's chicken place down in Cleveland, Tennessee. I sold everything I had just to get us moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, because God impressed upon my heart I need to go to Cleveland, Tennessee. I pulled about a 50-foot mobile home, and we put the oil tank, which is how kind of heat we had, we put it inside the living room floor and hauled that oil tank. And I paid a guy $300, and I believe it was like eight quarts of oil he had to have for his truck to pull that trailer to Cleveland, Tennessee. It was about 300 miles from where we did. And I remember we were up in, this outside Boston, Massachusetts, in Haverhill. Haverhill, some people call it Haverhill and some call it Brantford. The two towns are pretty connected. And Massachusetts. And we've been struggling so much, trying to just survive from one day to the next financially. And 1K previously had been offered a country music singing contract. And the producer in Nashville had said, you know, if you'll sing country music, it won't cost you a thing. We'll promote you. You feel like you've got the voice to make it and things. And said, we'll help you train your voice and all this stuff. But you got to sing country music because gospel don't sell. At the time, the gospel wasn't selling as well as secular music. But we didn't have to think about it for a second. Even though we were struggling financially, we said no. We feel like that God has called us to the ministry, and we want to, you know, that these gifts and talents of God within our life are to be used for that. And we want to us, the anointing of God is so precious. And when we prayed about it, we felt that if she started singing secular music to audiences rather than singing to people there to worship God, then God would lift His anointing off of her gift that He'd given her. And we've seen a lot of people, that's happened to them through the years. Most of your renowned singers of our day started out in church. Many of them started out in the Pentecostal church. They know what that anointing was. And they sold out that anointing. And so we said no to it. And it was, but I remember we was in Massachusetts and I fell on my knees. I got one to get one kid milk in the bed beside me. We were staying in a pastor's home that took in about 14 teenagers off of the street that were living on the street homeless. And it was a huge house, old house, and we were in one of the rooms they were staying in. I remember that prayer that night. I said, God, if you would, Lord, I remember praying. I said, Lord, if you would, if it be your will, God. I said, please lift this financial burden off of us. I said, I feel like we could just serve you so much better if we didn't have to struggle from day to day just to survive. And I said, Lord, I think we've proven to you that we're not going to sell out. You know, that's the one thing that kind of spoke to me. I was going to tell you about Mrs. Winters. I've got no story on it, except Mrs. Winters' restaurant. The Lord spoke to me that day. And three words He spoke to me was, not for sale. That's all He spoke to me. It's not for sale.
And what he impressed upon my heart, he said, I will take care of you and I will provide for you and I will make a way for you. Don't you worry about how you're going to make it. I'm going to provide for you. Don't worry about what offering you get at different churches and things. You can just go where I open the door for you to preach and I will provide for you. And so that was the word he spoke to me, not for sale. And I remembered that. And in that prayer that night, a few years later, I said, Lord, I think we've proven to you we're not going to sell out. We desire your presence and your anointing on our lives more than anything. And Lord, if you'll just help us, Lord, so we're not constantly distracted by this financial struggle, then Lord, please help us. And just a simple prayer that night went in one day. And from that day forward, it was like God began to open up the windows and begin to bless. And we didn't have that distraction like we'd had so long. And there's been struggles from time to time through the years, but nothing like what we were dealing with then. Nothing like what we had to deal with then. And God made a way and He provided. So the thing is that we have to, in every situation, no matter what is happening in our lives, we've got to be able to continue to give God praise and worship and thanksgiving. No matter what's going on in our lives. And that's the secret to getting out of it. And I told the Lord in that prayer that night, in that bedroom, I said, Lord, if you choose not to give us anything more, if you choose not to lift this, we're still going to serve you. We're still going to put you first in our lives. It's your, you know, it's your choice. We're just your servants, God. And that's how the prayer went. But we learn to be good things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then finally, in closing this morning, lessons from the wilderness that we must learn. Negativity breeds fear. Giving thanks breeds faith. Negativity breeds fear. But giving thanks breeds faith. Second lesson is, negativity snowballs and spreads. It spreads like a wildfire. You get a person complaining, murmuring, negative about everything, it rubs off on other people. And it causes them to say, what's the use? And they just give up to it. They lose their zeal. They lose their desire. They lose their passion for God. Third lesson, negativity repels. What I mean by that, it turns people off. It doesn't cause people to want to be around you. It causes them to want to get away from you, right?
Amen.
When we're negative, like the old lady in the nursing home, she had so many people come visit her. She was happy all the time. And the reporter, she was so well known in the community that the reporter of the local news came and interviewed her one day and said, man, what do you attribute all you just... all these people that want to befriend you and come and visit you and things. Some of these are not your family members and things. And she said, well, she said, you're always positive. She said, well, the reason I'm always positive, she said, if I complain, then nobody would want to come and see me. She understood that, how the negativity repels. Negativity is self-fulfilling. What is it the Word of God says? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Negativity brings about a self-fulfilling prophecy in our life. Didn't God say that He said, I will bring the sayings of my people to pass? Well, I know it's not going to get any better. It's only going to be worse. Well, I don't understand why nobody ever wants to come see me. Nobody ever invited me out to dinner. Negativity is self-fulfilling. It repels people. Another lesson, negativity short-circuits God's best in your life.
You will never, if your attitude and your mentality is a stinking thinking concept constantly, you will never achieve God's potential for your life. The potential that God has for your life. God has a divine purpose. Every one of you here this morning are special to God. He has a perfect plan for you. A divine plan. A divine purpose for every one of your lives. And it's wonderful. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How often the children of God live beneath their means. Because He has given to us all power, both in heaven and earth, that nothing shall by any means hurt you. You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions, you'll defeat the enemy. Your life is a life of victory. Paul said, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's nothing impossible to you.
Amen.
Because God is with you. Anything's possible with God.
Amen.
Negativity killed. It kills vision. It kills passion. It kills desire. It kills hope. It kills faith. It kills everything in its path.
Amen.
May God make us people of faith and people of victory. People of potentiality. What's that old kid song you sing? You are a promise. You are a possibility. You are a promise. With a capital P. You are a great big bundle of potentiality. And if you listen, you will hear God's voice. And if you try and you help you make the right choice. You are a great big promise. What if you are a great big promise with? Capital B or something like that. I don't know. You know what I mean. Live in the realm of God. Live in the realm of God. Anything's possible. Anything. Build your life on the Word of God. And He'll open doors for you that is unending. And give you favor with people in places you never dreamed possible. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your presence this morning. I thank You most of all because Your Word, all the promises of God are yea and amen. To know, God, that You will never leave us or forsake us, but You'll go with us every step of the way. And God, I just pray this morning. You know the thoughts and intents of every heart. There's nothing hid from You. You're omniscient, all-knowing God. And Lord, this morning I just pray that You will search us as David prayed in Psalm chapter 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way within me, and lead me in Thy way everlasting. Search us, O God. Lord Jesus, sure, there's been plenty of struggles. There have been plenty of problems and heartaches and disappointments within our lives. That comes with this world. In the world, we'll have tribulation. But Lord, You have promised that in You we shall have peace. And Lord, this morning I pray that You will help each and every one of us to stop focusing on our circumstances. And Lord, let us
set our eyes upon you, as David said. David, who was an apple of God's eye, a man after God's own heart, help us to be the apples of your eye. Help us to be men and women after your own heart, oh God, to please you. David prayed and he cried out and he made this powerful statement. He said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, O God. May we truly be able to say within our spirit, Lord, this morning, from the depths of our heart, without any doubt whatsoever, Lord, our heart and our mind and our spirit is fixed upon you. Lord, that we'll be unmovable. We're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that cannot be moved by the circumstances of trouble and chaos around us, because we have peace and solitude in you regardless of what's going on in the world around us. We know, God, that you have promised that you will take care of us and you will provide for us and you will make a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, this morning we surrender ourselves afresh anew to you, Lord, to draw us closer to you. Lord Jesus, keep us in the center of your will. Transform our minds. Let the mind of Christ be in us. Lord Jesus, let us not be conformed to this world, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. What was that final scripture I had on the PowerPoint? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of the good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me if you're able? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come forward this morning if you're able, and let's just give our cares to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm leaving. Lord, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I leave it in your capable hands. Lord, I'm going to use common sense in the situation to try to make the right decisions, to use wisdom. But Lord, I'm past worrying about it. It's in your hands. I'm your child. Everything I have belongs to you. I'm yours, Lord. And so, Lord, I just surrender it all to you. All the things that have caused me sleepless nights, the things that have distracted me from enjoying my time with my friends and my family, I refuse to let that circumstance control me anymore. I refuse to let negative thinking on other people's part control me anymore. I refuse, oh God, to allow what other people think about me from this day forth affect me. Because, Lord, the only one I'm concerned about this morning that thinks about me is you, Lord. Because if I can find favor with you, oh God, I know everything's going to be all right. I'm tired of trying to please man. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you'll never please all the people all the time. Lord, you put me upon this earth to please you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And how can I please you?
Jesus is Lord.
As Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Let people see a joy in our lives, Lord. And
Lord Jesus, this morning,
oh God, help us, Lord Jesus.
Transform our minds.
Lord,
the mind of Christ. A mind of faith. Restore faith. Give us a baptism of faith in your word this morning. Oh God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. Let faith arise within every heart this morning, within every person here this morning. Oh God, let faith arise. Oh Lord Jesus, we lift our hearts up to you this morning. morning. Lord Jesus, we surrender all to you. We give you all our burdens. We give you all our cares. We give you all our concerns, worries, and struggles, and heartaches, and despair within our lives. Oh God, we lift it all up to you, Lord. We're more than conquerors through you, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, from this day forth, help us to walk in victory. Let us look beyond the circumstances, and let us look with eyes of faith of what you're capable of doing through our lives, Lord. Jesus, in your name. In your name this morning, Lord, we worship you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you. We bless you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everlasting Father, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.
The church of God and your word, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, thank you for the students, everybody that came out today, oh God. Help us, oh God, not to complain, oh God. Not to complain about things that we don't see because we don't see it happening, oh God. But help us to have faith, oh God, to believe what you said, oh God, and to hear you, oh God, to praise you, oh God, and to wait for an answer, oh God, and not just tell you all of our problems, oh God, all the time, but that we may wait to hear you. And here to receive an answer, oh God. I pray that we can do the example that you have called us to be, oh God. I pray that we won't be ashamed of you, that we'll stand out wherever we go, even if it's at school, if it's at home, wherever it is, oh God. I pray that those who look up to us all disappointed, oh God. And God, I pray that we won't matter, that it won't matter to us if we please others, oh God, but as long as we please you, oh God. As long as we ask, as long as at night before we go to sleep, we ask you if you are pleased with us, oh God, and you say yes, that be it, oh God. I pray that we'll seek you, oh God, and ask your attention, oh God. They won't be up on your man with pain to adjust them. They won't be on and off with you, oh God. And that we won't be lukewarm, oh God. That we'll either be hot or cold, oh God. But I pray that all of us will be hot, oh God. They will be sweet, oh God. And never turn back, oh God. Never look back at our old lives or the things that we used to have, oh God, and say regret making the decision to be saved or live evil, oh God. And I just pray that we'll be your all, oh God, no matter what. Feelings may be, oh God, that we'll ignore our feelings, oh God, and just give you what you deserve.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just ask you, God, just God, to just forgive us for our sins, God. God, we know we're not worthy, God, but God, we just say thank you, God, for just giving us this day, God. God, we just say thank you, God, for just sending your anointing our way, God. God, we just thank you for the outpouring, God, of your spirit, God. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I speak to anybody that has a burden, God, God, that you do a miracle, God. God, that you fix any problem, God. God, we thank you, God, for being a problem solver, God. God, we thank you for being a fixer, God. God, we thank you for being a healer, God. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing over this atmosphere in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance over this atmosphere in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that we have a thirst for you, God. God, that we have a longing for you, God. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the act students, God. God, that we just get on board, God, with whatever it is you want us to do on this campus, God. For this church, God, whatever it is that you want us to do on this campus, God. God, we ask you, God, to just send your wave of glory in this house, God. Send your wave of glory, God, not only on a Sunday, God, but throughout the week, God, throughout the weekend, God. God, let us be a living testimony, God, that you can do anything, God. God, let us be a living testimony of the things that you brought us out of, God. In the name of Jesus, God. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you cover us in your blood, God. Cover us, God, as we go back to our normal, regular lives, God. God, cover us, God. God, touch our bodies, God. God, touch our minds, God. God, give us a mind transplant, God, that we can think, God, in the ways you want us to think, God. God, give us a heart transplant, God, that we can love the way you want us to love people, God. In the name of Jesus, God. God, I pray that, God, we just be vessels, God, to just do your work, God. And God, I pray, God, for a peace that passes all understanding in the time of trouble, God. Because in the time of trouble, God, we know you shall hide us, God, under the shadows of the Almighty, God. And God, we give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, mighty God. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Brother Doyle, you come and pray. Brother Doyle. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name.
We just praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your great love for us. Lord, just help us stay in love with you. We know if we stay in love with you, God, all will be well with our souls. God, we just ask you that we'll have to continue our prayer life with you, God, because when we stop praying, we know we're in trouble. And things happen and enter into our hearts and lives, and we lose our faith, and our faith grows weak, God. As long as we commune with you, God, and just keep our fellowship with you, Lord, and our relationship with you right, God, we know that all will be well, Lord, and we can just be what we need to be for you, God, and we can have that anointing and that direction for our lives and that guidance that we need, God, day by day. So we just ask you, God, just to bless your people here today and help us, Lord, just to remain true and faithful to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask you, we praise you and thank you today.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Sister Hannah. Yes, Lord. Sister Hannah.
Lord Jesus, we do worship you this morning and we praise your name. The name that's above every name, God, we give you praise and worship and glory. We thank you for your word, O God, because your word is true. And Lord, in your word is logic. And we thank you, God, that you have given us that word. Oh, my God, forever we give you praise and glory and honor. Blessed be your name. God, you give us strength for each day, Lord, from moment to moment. Sometimes it seems that from moment to moment we call upon you, Lord, and you're always there to help. My God, we look back at all of the things that you have done in our lives, the wonders of God, and the miracles that you have given to each of us, Lord.
Yes.
God, because of you, we stand here this day in your holy presence.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you have given to us, Lord. Within ourselves, we're nothing, oh God. And Lord, the things of this world are nothing. There's nothing, oh God, that means anything but you, Lord Jesus. Because you are God of heaven and earth, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of spending eternity with you, Lord. And we do, God, pray that everyone here, oh God, we would that everyone in this whole world, Lord, would be ready for you. But we know that they won't be according to your word. But God, don't let any of us be lost, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for every family that's represented here, that every member will be ready, oh God. Because there's nothing else, Lord, that matters. And God, we know that time is so short. We're coming to the end, oh God, and for waiting for your coming, Lord. And let us all be ready, God. Take us out of our lethargy, Lord Jesus. And as Brother Doyle says, Lord, let us be praying and watching for you, Lord. My God, we must commune with you, Lord. We must be in your presence, Lord Jesus. We must be in the realm of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name forever. God, forever we give you praise and glory and honor. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Sure.
Lord, show me your way. Show me.
For I shall yet praise him.